I'd like to
think a little bit this morning about being deceived. I think of all of the conditions that we humans can get into, that deception is probably the most fearful of them all. I think about the conditions that people get into of addictions, habits, life habits. Thought about the story that Brother Michael recounted to us of the man that wrote Amazing Grace, and the condition that he had allowed himself to get into was a horrible condition of bitterness and hatred and being a long ways from God. But he was always in a hopeful place anyway, a place God could at least talk to him. But it's, to me, the most fearful thing to think of being deceived. Because it's a place that you think that you're right. You think that all's well. To get into a place like that is fearful. I think God's got a way, even in those places, that He can shake somebody. As we heard last night, you can be in the groove of your life song and something come that's so dramatic and so shaking to you that it rattles your confidence in what you've believed in. I also believe that belief is an act of the will. I believe today that everything that you believe, you want to. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, the only thing that ever makes sense to me was that we believe it because we want to. When Eve was deceived by the devil, by the serpent in the garden, it's because he touched the want to. He touched something within her that made her want more than she had, and he dealt with that idea until it got to the place that her want to was captured. He was able to get that across to her. She wanted something, and the only thing to do to be able to do it was to believe it. So she did believe it. Bible says that she was deceived. But I'm more interested this morning, rather than just the act of deception, I want to think about the state of it. Because we can be deceived and find ourselves in acts of deception. The old devil's slick, and he'll come in and pull one on you, and he's pulled them on me before too. And I turned around, and when I learned that it was that, I said, he pulled that one on me. But I was willing to see things different than that because I saw the outcome of what he was trying to do. But there is a state of deception too. A place that people live in. It's been in the human condition ever since Adam and Eve fell from the garden. And it's because the desire that people have is not always pure and right. But then they want more of things that they shouldn't have. Their will is involved in it, and they want that so they believe it. Our world is full of a religious deceptions today. Deceptions of all kinds, and that get people in a place that because they want to. I think everybody that has an understanding of hell and heaven wants to go to heaven. So it makes for religion. Religion's there, but yet we live in life, and because life, being what life is, want to enjoy it to the most. I don't like for people to run over me. I don't like for things to be a certain way. Then because of that, I'll accept beliefs. See? That I want to believe the worst deception there is, I believe, is self-deception. I want to look at a scripture over in Proverbs. 16th chapter of Proverbs. The same statement is in the 14th chapter of Proverbs. So it's said twice, 14 and 12 and 16 and 25. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I believe what this is talking about this morning is that there is places that people want to believe something. The way that seemeth right is the way that people want to believe. And the way it seemeth right to a man, that ain't right at all. And the ways of that, the end of that, is going to be the destructions of their souls. But it seems right. It's a seem right way. And it's talking of self-deception. Because that's where it really always comes down to, is what I'm willing to believe. And the willingness to accept the truth. The guard against all deception, folks, is a love of the truth. It will defend you of all deception. A love of truth, a love of right, a love of holiness, a love of it will defend you against the inaccuracies. It will defend you against your own self-deception to love the truth. In any way it comes, however it comes, Lord, I want to know the truth. I'll eat of it, whether it's hard to chew or not. Lord, I want the truth, and give me the truth is what I want. When you have a love of the truth, it'll defend you against self-deception. But they'll want to. I had the privilege of being able to spend a lot of the last days of Brother Jim White. Many of you knew him. I speak of him often. I said one time when after he passed away, oh, he'll never be gone as long as I'm able to get up and preach. He left some memorable things with me. He was a memorable guy. He loved the Lord. Brother Jim, 2 years ago, right before our camp meeting in June, he had had some physical problems over the years. And getting older, he was 86 years old at the time. Something definitely happened to him. He knew it happened to him. Something, his heart had did something. From that time on, he began to go down. He knew that he wasn't functioning the way, and he tried and he labored with it. His breathing started becoming bad, and things started changing with him. And Brother Jim began to get he was always serious about the Lord, but there was something happened right there. He started getting a desperation about him, about his soul. Called me up and had me come down from time to time. Anything that started to question, any questions that would rise in his mind, he'd want to take care of them. You could see the desperation that he'd have. About every day or so, he'd call me up and say, Brother Marty, would you come down? I got to talk to you about something. I thought sometimes that it was the greatest urgent thing. Oh, it sounded so urgent to me. And get down there, and he may say something like, you know, I remember a run-in I had with a fella about 20 years ago. And it would be, he would come off with some of the most trivial little things about it, but he was dealing with his soul. And he did not want to meet the Lord. Told me a lot, I don't want to meet the Lord with anything in my life, Brother Marty. I want to be clear before the Lord. So I'm trying to take care of things. Brother Jim believed that the Lord had told him that he was going to get to go to Ohio that summer. And he told me that a number of different times. The Lord said he would get to go to Ohio. And it didn't work out for him to go to Ohio. And it troubled him. It troubled him. Call me down and say, Brother Marty, I'm just sure that the Lord told me that. Then there came a time that he told me, he said, Brother Marty, the Lord has revealed to me that he's going to give me 3 more years. And he kept going down. I'll be honest with you. I never did believe that. But it ain't up to me to believe it or not believe it. And it didn't make no difference to him that I did or I didn't. And I didn't say that. I encouraged him along, and he kept dealing with that and seeing himself going down and going down. But he kept saying he was going to, this is what the Lord had done, and this is what the Lord had said, and he was trying to hang to some promises, and he's done that. And I remember the day that Brother Jim called me down, wanted to talk to me about something. Because I would always say to him, Brother Jim, the Lord can do that. But you need to make sure you're ready. Brother Jim said to me, he said, Brother Marty, I got a question for you that's been running through my mind. He said, "Is it possible, Brother Marty, that a man would want to live so bad that he would believe something that wasn't true?" And I said, "Yeah, Brother Jim. It is possible." He said, "Do you believe it's possible that someone would want to live bad enough that he would believe the Lord told him something that the Lord didn't tell him?" And I said, "Yes, Brother Jim, I do believe that's possible." He loved the truth more than he loved his life. At the ultimate end of it, Brother Jim wanted to live so bad, he wanted to live, he had things to do, he had family that he was desperate to see saved. He told me that. He wanted to see his daughter saved before he left this world. He wanted to influence them to that. And he wanted to be able to live and accomplish those things. And he had a want to. He had a want to. And that started creating a belief. It started creating a belief in him. And there came a point that he was willing to ask the question, "Is it possible that it's my want to's that's causing me to believe something?" "Yes, Brother Jim, that's the way it works. It's just the way it works." Folks, we have the influences that God has given into our lives around us, of family and friends, and the desire for their well-beings, and the desire for them to be right, and the desire of those things around us. And if we ain't very careful, that is the very thing that will deceive us, is our want to. The thing that we want to be. I want my family around me to be right, and if I'm not careful, I'll make exceptions all the way along the line for them. If I ain't careful, I'll make exceptions that I'll hold on to and believe. And begin to build that as a pattern of my life rather than the truth. And really, in the bottom line, deception hurts everybody. The only way to really get it and to really help somebody is have a good standard of truth. A good standard of what God really is doing. And that's the safeguard against us, Lord, against deception, is, "Lord, help me to be willing." To be willing. To believe the truth. To believe the truth. Because if I ain't very careful, those things are coming in and they'll start making me to want to change the truth. The truth. I had an interesting run-in with a guy one time. I didn't know him. I was holding a meeting somewhere and he had come to service. And he had listened to me preach a couple nights, and then he invited me one night. He said, "I'd like to take you out to dinner." And I said, "All right." He said, "Would tomorrow be all right?" And I said, "I think I can do that." And he said, "I'd like for you to read this article I have, and I'd like to talk about it tomorrow." And I said, "All right, we could do that." So he gave me this article, and supposed to meet him for lunch the next day. He was going to take me out at noon, so I took the article and read it. And next day we went out to lunch, and about halfway through the lunch, he said, "So did you read the article?" And I said, "Yeah, I read the article." And he said, "Well, what did you think of it?" And I said, "Well, I think the first question I'd have to ask is who wrote it?" And he kind of was sheepish, and he said, "Well, I did." And I said, "It's pretty obvious to me then." See, the whole article was in defense of why he could marry, why a person could marry again after they had had a wife, and that was what the whole article was about. And I said, "Well, it's a pretty easy conclusion for me. You've either got another one or you're wanting one." And he said, "Well, I don't have one, but you're right. I got an intended." And I told him, I said, "You better be very careful. Because a man's want-tos is the basis of his faith. It's the basis of why he believes what he believes. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And this is what it is. The way that seemeth right is our want-tos. We take what the God made humans with the capability of intellect. Like no other creation that He made, He made us with the ability to look and say, or write a column of figures and come down and write a line under them and add them up to a conclusion. This equals this. And that's truth. That's truth. If you add it right, it's truth. 2 plus 2 is 4. Modern world is starting to say, for some reason, that 2 and 2 don't have to be 4. If 5 is an answer, then that's an answer that we can deal with, but we don't say that it's wrong. What foolishness. Trying to teach us that there's relativity and no absolutes. And what I'm telling you today, there's absolutes. God's an absolute God. Yeah, and God has absolutes in the way He desires for people to live. But He don't want us to live to our own will. Our own will and our own mind is going to cause us to go astray and every time. Somewhere along the line, in our ability to think and reason, we may be able to put several columns in line, but somewhere along the line, there's going to be a place that we get that wrong. So anyway, in this conversation that I had with this man, the only thing I can say about the visit is that the food was good. There was nothing else that could be said about it because the man had already determined, and he had a need in his life to prove it to somebody else, and I was the target. He needed to prove it to somebody else, or he was going to prove it to me. I had another similar run-in with a man that was a very, very hard holiness man, if you can put the two terms together. Believed in holiness. Right down to the point that chewing gum was wrong. Oh, he was tough. He was down till candy bars was worldly. Chewing gum was worldly. Told me that he had got a car and he painted the silver bumper black. I mean, that's the kind of convictions that the man run his life by. But at some point in the conversation, he said to me, looked at me and said, with his finger out, he said, "You all have the most damnable doctrine that of any people around. You all have the most damnable doctrine." And I said, "Really? What would that be?" And he said, "That doctrine you all have about remarriage." And I laughed right at the time. I laughed and said, "You just told me something. You must have another wife." He said, "Well, I've got my third wife." "Well, how did I know?" I told him. "Because you have a want to. You have a want to. You have a need to. A desire to. And that's what builds it." And do you think, I'd be willing to say today that there would be people right here, and myself if I'm not careful, that would run because of the want to's of it. When God made it clearly said, this is where it's at. Right here is the absolute definite truth, but I'll stray from that because I'll have a need to see it some other way. And there's a lot of ways of looking at things, and ideas, and ways, and there's so much scripture that if you start piecing and parting, you can build a case for about anything you want to. But it won't get you to heaven. And in the whole process of it, get to a place, and this is a fearful place. It's not that in itself, but here's the fearful thing that happens. You close the door on God. That's what deception does. It closes the door on God's workings, on His Spirit to be able to come in touch and move that. And so, no, that's not where it's at right there. I want to tell you, I appreciated that. I was praying about this because I felt like that it wasn't true what Brother Jim was beginning. He was down at the last of me, and he was starting to get this, and I was praying, "Lord." And Brother Jim, when he said that, was like a load off of me. Because I wanted him to be able to face it. Is it possible that a man would want to live so bad that he believed the Lord said something that he didn't? As a little aside, be very careful with the term "the Lord said," because it's fearful. If you go into the idea of the Ten Commandments, and you go into the idea of what it meant to take the Lord's name in vain, it really wasn't just talking about cursing. As a matter of fact, it wasn't talking about it at all, really. It was talking about where people would use the Lord's name and say, "The Lord said," something that the Lord didn't say, and it wasn't a good thing to do, to say the Lord said that when the Lord didn't say it. So to be very careful of saying what the Lord, and this is why I've had people come to me and in the course of a conversation that I believe that they was very inaccurate about, would say to me at some point in it, "The Lord told me this." I'm going to tell you, if you want to use this term, that outtrumps anything you can do. There's nothing more that can be said. I end there. If you've come to me with a conversation and said, "The Lord said," you've outtrumped anything I can do. Because if the Lord said that, you are absolutely to follow it. And I can't tell you this said that, or that said that, or that's not good wisdom, or it's not good practice, or there's just better counsel than that. There's nothing I can do or say, or anyone else to do when you say, "The Lord said." But many people are saying that the Lord said, when it's really, I want to. My mind. My heart. This is the direction that I want to go. Well, Brother Sam is all you taught us up home. When you're getting ready to move, you pray until you don't have to. If you want to move, you pray until you don't have to. And if you don't want to go, you pray until you can. It's a good, safe place to be in. Pray until the Lord's will be done, because if I decided I want to go somewhere, it's the Lord's will for sure. Young people, you get in your heart and mind that you want to marry some pretty girl? You guess? Well, of course she's the one Lord wants for you. Especially if she's pretty. See what I'm saying? But it's the one who, "The Lord told me she's the one." But is she really? "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And that's what we don't want to go into, is the ways of death. Over in 1 Corinthians 3 and 18, I'll back up a little bit. I'll go to 12. "Now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built there upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." Now, here's an idea. I just wanted to pick that thought up. Let no man deceive himself. I know the devil has something to do with that. And there's people out there trying to deceive people. But this says, let no man deceive himself. Our minds are used for reason. We reason. We think and we conclude. We look at situations and we put them together and we run them through our minds and we reason it out. Our minds forms logic, puts things in its orders and in its ways. We take our minds and we do it. This is a part of just intellect that God gives us to work with and to deal with. We argue our case. That's the way we argue our case. We begin to bring things in, and all at the back of this, of everything that I just said, when the back of that is a pure religion, but when back of that is a pure want and desire for the truth, when behind that is a purity for God's holiness and righteousness in your life, there's a good place to start the process of reasoning and logic and argument. But that's not always the way it works. When the motivation behind that is not pure, when the motivation behind it is not for holiness and righteousness, when the motivation behind that is to have a little leeway to the flesh, a little bit of the world here, a little bit of the world there, then it's a good place to start forming reason that's going to deceive you. You're going to be able to start taking in on yourself and building a life, building, you're building a life with the things that you're putting in it, by the logic and reason, the arguments that you make, why you're allowed to do what you're allowed to do, and say that it's right. These kind of arguments, well, not everybody can handle it, but I can. Those kind of arguments, I don't see anything wrong with this. Arguments, I can get by with this, there's nothing wrong with this. Show me black and white in the scriptures. Argument, see, all these things come in their argument, but the basis of all of it is what I want. What I want. What I'm willing to be logical with, what I'm willing to put into the equation, what my desires really is, what my heart's really going after, is going to form me as a person. You are what you put into your building. You put stubble in the building, you'll be a stubble building. It won't have lasting qualities to it. It won't be able to endure things. It won't be able to go up against things. But what it ends up doing, what would you... I'll ask you this question. Brother Ed, what would you patch a stubble house with? Stubble, right? Well, if you lose a few bricks in a brick house, you put brick back. Boards for the boards, but if you was a stubble house, what are you going to repair a stubble house with? Stubble. The only thing that you're going to try to put back in your life when it starts tearing down around your life and it's not put up is more stubble. More stubble. Got to add more to it and more to it. And it's the way it is in that. And people that go through life that way in a deception thing, I don't want to be critical. But what I've seen in life is so strange. Linda and I know a young woman that has a daughter. She had told my wife and children, and she right away said, "You homeschool your children." And Linda said, "Yeah, we homeschool the children." And she said, "Oh," she said, "my little girl," she said, "I just want somebody to take her and homeschool her." Well, that ain't the answer to their problems. But she looked at that situation, and we know what her life's like. You can see what the life's like about her. Look at that and say, you need a life change. You know, the little girl's out of control. She can't be handled and all these things, and she needs homeschooled. Well, she don't need homeschooled. She needs a life change. She needs something more than that. You, people that things are falling down around them, they throw more stubble at it. They try to share it with these things. It's a self-deception about things. Never looked and said in itself, "Lord, help me to be able to be the mother that I ought to." Put stability in the little girl's life. Build up a place that she can be what a little girl ought to be, and bombarded with all the world and the lust of the world and all the entertainments of the world, and let go to do anything, and she acts bad. Well, imagine something like that she would act bad. But how do they fix it? With the same old stubble that they build it with. Never really realizing the worst condition, folks, to get into is one of self-deception. To not be able to really see what's going on in my own life. And all this going on and looking and saying, and it's so common, folks, when you begin to feel a spirit of blame to other people and around and criticism of those that's doing that. I want to tell you, be on guard for that. It's a sign of deception. It's a sign of deception. It's a reasoning process that goes on in our minds, a part of this deception. This says, let no man deceive himself, but to see ourselves for what we really are. Lord, help me today to see me for what I really am. Scripture over in Revelations. This is familiar. We use this many times. Revelations 3. And 14 says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true, witness the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now why cold or hot? Why cold or hot? I like to ask this question. Are you cold today in your soul? I mean, you can answer that to yourself. Are you cold? Okay. Are you hot? Because I imagine if you was honest, there'd be a lot of people here who say, no, I'm not really cold. I've got some. I'm not cold. But did you answer I'm hot? Well, guess what? There's only one thing left. There's only one left. That's in the middle. And there's a reason the Lord said I were... Well, I would think the Lord would just plain say, I would that she's hot. I mean, I would that she's hot, but there was a reason why He said, I would that she was cold or hot one. You know why? Because either cold or hot, either one, is workable. It's workable. If you're hot, praise the Lord can lead and guide and you can get something done, and that's a good place to be in, that's great. But if you're cold, you know what you can do with cold? You can deal with cold. But what are you going to do with lukewarm? That's what the Lord's saying. Don't feel no need of being cool, and I don't have no need of being hot. I'm just right here in this. I don't get anything done. I never go anywhere or do anything, or nothing's ever accomplished, and there's no fervency or no desire. But I'm not cold. If I was cold, I'd feel cold. God didn't make you feel cold when you're cold. There's nothing God can do in that. But there's a place of self-deception that puts you in a lukewarm place, and God can't do anything about it. God can't touch that place in your life. God can't make a difference in that place in the home and family. God can't do nothing with it because I live for God. And I've reasoned myself through this, and I'm in right in the place that I should be in. Right there is where I'm supposed to be, and that's where I'm at. Well, I go to church on Sundays, and I pray every once in a while, and I try to be a good guy, and I do all these things, and I'm right there. I'm right there. But the Lord looked at the church of the Laodiceans and said, that's not good. Because you was neither hot nor cold, He said, I spew you out. It's neither, and I'll be honest with you, there are some things I can take. There's some things that I can take in that place of warmth. But it better have a lot of flavor and sugar to it when it's there. Because it's not appealing to me at all. I like hot and I like cold, but I don't like much of the lukewarm. Several years ago, there was a diet, and I know there's someone in here that knows what this is about, but there was a diet going around, and I tried this diet. It was a lemonade, cayenne pepper, get this right, maple syrup drink that you drunk. You could drink as much of it as you want, but it's all you got through the day. But the idea was that every morning when you got up, you took a quart of lukewarm water and a tablespoon, I think it was, of sea salt. And you drunk that quart of water down just as fast as you could do it. And it was a cleanse that you're supposed to do. And well, I got bold and decided I was going to try this thing and done that. And I'm going to tell you what, didn't work. That lukewarm salt water, I couldn't do it. And I really thought in my mind that I can do anything like that because I can turn it up and just chug it down. And I'm not squeamish about things like that. But I'm going to tell you, when I got a hold of that, just a few gulps of it, and I tried again and again, and finally I think I did okay on the first day without anything going on, and then the second day I couldn't get it all down, and the third day I said, this ain't for me. I can't do this. I think that's the way God feels about lukewarm. He said He spewed it out. It's distasteful. It's nothing that God wants. He said, because thou sayest, this is where the condition that they got into, because thou sayest, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing, I don't have needs in my life. To get into, I'm going to tell you, there's a place of deception today. It's a want-to place. To get into a place and get these things in your life and feel secure about yourself, and I'm as good as anybody, and I got a place, and I don't have needs in my life. Lord, help us today to be a people that realize the needs that we have before the Lord. I don't care where you, how long you live for the Lord or what kind of place you've been in, you have a need of the Lord today. Help us feel it keenly. Because Brother Jim had time to get there in his life, but you may not. You may not have the time to deal with it just that way. I felt like Brother Jim was a very spiritual man, a very devoted man, a very devout person. He loved the Lord, and he got into a place that he needed the Lord so desperately that he hungered and thirsted and sought. He fought for it. He fought for it. You know, there's a scripture that talks about having the wicked not having any bands in their death. Oh, I seen Brother Jim, and I said, how true it is. The wicked can go many times and die and see it happen and not have a care and not fight, not concerned about death at all, and just go run right on to it. I've seen them do it. And not struggle or fight or anything and just go on and die. And here I looked at an old saint struggling and fighting with all he had right down to the last. You know why? Because he cared for his soul. And he was fighting for it with all he had, and he didn't want to be deceived in anything. Don't be deceived. It says don't deceive yourself. Don't be deceived. Say he's rich. Yeah, we're rich. Say us are rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Oh, if the Lord in His mercy could reveal back to us today the way He sees our poor condition. Oh, I know there's a great salvation. But if the Lord could show us just how dependent we are on it today. Oh, that for these people to even wonder or even be able to say, I shudder to get to the place that I say, I am rich, I am full, I have need of nothing. But he said, thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him, and I will sup with him, and him with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. This has been a part of the human experience from the time of Adam and Eve, of self-deception, of coming to places of believing, of religions. There was people throughout the ages that believed that they could take it. How they believed it is beyond me. But they believed it. They believed that they took some craftsman took a tree, and they cut it down, and they carved on it, and they made an image in it, and then the goldsmith would come and overlay it, or they would do various things of stone or wood or brass or different things, and they would set up an image of something and believed in some way or another that it represented something that they could worship and bow down to, and somehow they put to it If you notice, all idolatry really is just a worship of self and humans, because at the bottom of it, I think the 115th Psalm even says, the things that make them are like unto them. They put human characteristics to all these things. Well, a human characteristic, something that they want, what they wanted. What they wanted of it, they put to it. Many times it was sensual and lustful, but whatever they desired or wanted, that's what they worshipped out of it. They did it with the totem poles of the American Indian. They would put up, and they put different things on it. They would name themselves after creatures, and they would worship, and those characteristics. Somebody wanted to be sly like a fox, or mighty like a grizzly, or sore like an eagle, but there was characteristics that they wanted to see on themselves. Wanted to see on themselves. How foolish! How foolish to worship yourself! To worship yourself. I need something bigger than me. I need a thought process that's higher than my thought process. I need something that comes from a divine origin that can lead me through this thing, because I know how inept I am at living this life and being successful. I know if the Lord would have said, you write the book, I know what I would write. It would suit me. It would suit me. The idea of telling somebody to go find the church of their choice is crazy. It's crazy. Find God in His reality. Find the Lord that will lead your life. Be willing, folks, today to turn it all loose that you won't be deceived. Put it all in God's hands. Say, Lord, I am willing to go where you want me to go. Give what you want me to give. I lay my all on the altar. I give it all to you. My heart, my mind is to be true. I want truth in my life. I'd rather have truth now than later. Give me the truth of what things, who I am. Give me the truth of life. I don't want to hide or go around it. I want to know now. Now is the time to know. Oh, it's I mentioned it before, but it's so likely. I mean, I'm a kind of person, I have a set of scales, to be honest with you. Me and my wife's always on this about weight. I think it's just amazing. Do you realize that a high-calorie diet is what's supposed to be preferred? I mean, no, I'm saying it this way. If you're in a country where there ain't much food, what do you want? All animal life's this way. All animal life's this way. They're after a lot of calories to survive. Everybody but us Americans. It's a bad thing to us, high-calorie stuff. It's a life we live in. We have scales, and they're so inaccurate. I can step on them scales, and it'll say a certain weight. I step on it again, it'll be 3 pounds difference. Sometimes I just want to throw it in the trash. I didn't lose or gain weight that fast. It's wrong. It's an inaccuracy. You know, some people set their scales 10 pounds difference. They do. They'll set that thing 10 pounds so they'll feel better about stepping on it. People set their clocks different. I have an atomic clock and I love it, and it's on time. They say it every so often that thing resets itself down to the hundredth or something, and I like it because I can set my watch. That's what time it is. Right there's what time it is. And you have people that said there was 15 minutes, 20 minutes different. They say, oh, yeah, I do that so I'll be early to work. Well, there's a better solution than that. Set your clock right and learn how to do it. It may be all right in this life, but I'm going to tell you something. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. You're not going to set your clock difference. You're not going to set the poundage difference on the scale when it comes to God's work. He's exact. We need to deal with the exactness of God and what God's wanting out of our lives. You can't alter that. You can't do that. People try to alter the truth. I love the truth. I absolutely love the truth. You know, there's people that just have such a... And I feel sorry for them. I really do. But so many people have such a wrestling match over this modesty issue. I know a good solution to that. I love it. I just love it. I did from the start. When I got saved, I was such an immodest person, and I love the idea of modesty and dressing right. I just love it. I don't have to wrestle with it. I don't have to feel bad about it. You don't have to feel sorry for me, because I love it. I love to see it. I wish everybody was that way. I really do. And I don't have to. When I first got saved, I'd have these dreams. I'd be in my hometown, and all of a sudden I'd look and I'd be in my t-shirt. Well, before I was saved, I wouldn't even have a t-shirt on. But after that, when I was in my t-shirt, and in my dream, I'd go sneaking around the corners of the building, trying to get to my truck without anybody seeing me. And it was a nightmare. And I'd wake up and be so, oh, I'm so glad I'm out of that. What a horrible nightmare it was to me. There is a... You know what? If we love, we love the truth, it'll free us. If we don't love the truth, you're going to get deceived. You're going to be deceived. And it's going to be a self-deception. It's going to be a self-deception. And you know that thing can go all the way to judgment. And the longer you go, the more convinced you are. And look, and I found it here in the Bible. It talks about the freedom and liberty. I'm free. I'm free. Oh, the Bible says I am. I'm free. Oh, Lord, help us today. I thought I was rich. Them people were so rich. They had money. They had things there that he was talking about in Laodicea. And they thought they had it all together. And they was a congregation of people. No doubt they had an experience with the Lord at one point. Did they not? They come to some conclusions about themselves. Did they not? And the Lord came in and His mercy and His revelation to them and said, you are not. You are not what you think you are. And I'm going to give you the opportunity right here and right now to alter the course. Alter the course that you're on. Now we heard last night, what does it take? What does it take to make a person so drastically change? I know what's a good start. Humble yourself. Humble yourself down and say, Lord, if there be anything. Get the heart of David when he said, search me, O Lord. Is there any evil way in me? Search me. Try my reins. Test. Put tests to me. Check me. Help me, Lord. Because one day I'm going to stand before you and I want to stand right, Lord. Do it on this side and not on that. Humble myself down to say, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. And I'm going to need you help. Lord, help me to see it the way it is. Give me the heart to do it right. Lord, when your truth comes and it's hard to take, you don't think it is sometimes? The Lord said to some people back there one time, He said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part of me. And they looked at that and said, what's this man talking about? That was a very heinous, hateful, awful, horrible thing that he said if you took it in the flesh. And they knew that. And he said, what this guy's talking about? This is a hard saying. Who could hear it? And many of his disciples walked no more with him. There's hard things they're saying. But when he turned to Peter and said, will you go away also? Peter put himself down. He humbled himself. Lord, to whom would we go? Where else is there to go for salvation? Where else is there to go to the truth? The truth that will set us free. The truth that's going to take us to heaven. It might seem to slap you right on the face. It might seem to put you down. It might seem to ultimately change who you think you are. But where will we go? Where else would we go? That's the words of eternal life. It's your words or no words, Lord. I'm going this way all the way. You know, if you look into what Jesus was actually saying, it was so beautiful. Jesus was actually saying, I'm going to give you my blood and my flesh. If they only knew what he was really telling them, what a beautiful picture of sacrifice and denial of self that Jesus was doing for them and inviting them to be a partaker of his life. I'm glad that he did that. You think it's not a hard saying? When he come along and said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests and the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head, and all of a sudden I'm looking at something that I think I can accomplish and the Lord is teaching me to walk in this line of self-denial and sacrifice and not having. When I think I ought to have, He teaches me that I don't have to have. Oh, when I wanted sunshine, the Lord sent a rain. When I wanted healing, He sent my share of pain. But where else would we go? There's no place else to go. My will is right here hinged on two places. I'll take my way or I'll take God's way. I can gain to myself, my flesh, my reputation. I can do all these things to myself. I can build arguments. I can build arguments in my mind that are so sound and reasonable. Have you ever had them tore down? I'm telling you, I've made a couple before. Of arguments in my mind and have the Lord come in and just shatter my thinking altogether. And I had to say to the other, thank you, Lord. That I'd have been awful on that one. I'd have been way out there on that one, Lord. And you come and had mercy on me and shattered my thinking. Our thoughts is not His thoughts. Our ways is not His ways. Today, the fear of God, consider this. Because I believe this, that it can happen right among us. I believe this is a condition that happens right in the seat when the preaching goes on. Self-deception doesn't need anything else. Because it comes from within the person's desire and wants, the will. And when I desire, when I hear that thing come across that I'm not willing to accept, I'm going to build me an argument against it. And risk being deceived. So you pray for me. I want to be faithful.